Welcome to the Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, the Director of Worship Arts here at the church, and as always, it's great to be with you. We hope you enjoy this week's episode of our weekly sermon podcast and ask that you would do us a favor and please share this with your friends and family on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us at www.fumcbentonville.org or by searching FUMC Gathering Podcast on iTunes.
Now, Paul and Silas knew that arguing with people about the presence of God would never convince anybody that God was real. They did not stand in the public square and shout the gospel. What they did is they built relationships with people. They lived their life in such a way that people said, "What is it about you that's different?" And then they could introduce people to the transformative love of God, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. So Paul didn't want to have a big explosion in the public square. So he'd been trying to ignore this woman all week long, and finally something in him snapped. Perhaps it was the injustice of it all. This poor girl with no hope, enslaved. And he turned and he shouted, "Demon, be gone in the name of Christ." And instantly, the woman's face changed. Joy started to bubble up. All of the muscles and nerves relaxed, and she started to laugh. "I am free. I am free." Now, while she was laughing in joy, her owners and the rest of the town, well, they were filled with rage. Now, oftentimes, rage and anger are simply symptoms of fear. If you want to know why people are angry or why they are filled with rage, ask them what they're afraid of. And in this case, her owner was afraid of losing his income stream. And in the case of the people, well, they were afraid of life. You see, their lives were short and brutal, and they lived under the oppression of the Roman conquerors, and they were taxed ceaselessly. They had no idea what the weather was going to bring tomorrow. They had no idea if the crops would fail. They had no idea if they were going to eat. So this fortune teller was the only hope they had. And they paid whatever they had to hear some good news. And when that was taken away from them, the fear bubbled up into rage. And it didn't take long for the slave owner to convince the people in the town to become a mob and drag Paul and Silas to the magistrate. And when they got to the magistrate, shouting in anger and rage, they said what mobs so often say: "These foreigners are destroying our way of life." And the magistrate agreed. And he had them stripped and beaten with rods and then thrown bleeding into jail and had their ankles chained to the floor. And what did they do? Were they afraid? No. They had an intimate relationship with God, and they had experienced worse before. They started praying and singing to God, and they modeled what a fearless relationship with God looks like for all of the other prisoners. And that evening, a tremendous earthquake shook the town, blew the doors off of the jail, every cell open, the chains fell off the prisoners. And the poor guard, he was filled with fear himself, not at the earthquake, but fear that he himself would have to pay the price for all of the prisoners escaping, and he could not live with that, so he pulled his sword, was about to kill himself, and Paul, standing right next to him, right next to the chains, but the guard's so afraid he didn't even see him, Paul says, "Peace, be still, we have not left." And the sword dropped from his hands, and the fear started to vanish. You see, for the last 2 weeks, the guard had been listening to the servant girl, listening to her shout, "These men are slaves of the Most High God, and they offer you a way of salvation." And for the last day, he had been witnessing what that salvation looked like. Utter fearlessness. And he dropped to his knees, and with tears streaming down his face, he said, "Sirs, please show me this way of salvation." God speaks to us in powerful ways, always speaking to us, whispering to us through the people we work with, through the people around us, through family members, whispering to us through our joys. Sometimes speaking to us most clearly through our bodies. Those aches and pains are sometimes God saying, "Maybe I want you to live a little differently." Sometimes God speaks to us through what breaks our hearts. Sometimes God speaks to us through our fears. Often, if we want to know what God might be asking us to do, we can look at what we're most afraid of. I have a good friend who's first pastor that I really became close friends with in Minneapolis. And he told me he would never, ever, ever go pastor in North Dakota. He told God emphatically, "I will become a pastor, but I will never pastor in North Dakota." Well, of course, it wasn't long before he was called to North Dakota. I've experienced that oh so many times. And in this case, the jailer heard God whispering to him through his fears. What are you most afraid of? Face your fears, and you will find your freedom. This past week, my brother was married in Colombia. And as I told all of my friends and family that I was going to be going to Colombia to stand up at my brother's wedding, they all said, "You might want to buy insurance for being kidnapped, because I don't got any money to get you free." Those are all the people I work with. But it was a universal fear. Eric, Colombia is a dangerous place. Why would you go there? And when I arrived in Colombia, I discovered that it wasn't a place to be afraid of. In fact, one of my cousins married a girl from Mexico, and after a week in Colombia, she said, what broke her heart is that Colombia had been able to turn and change so dramatically, and her beloved Mexico was still such a mess. Beautiful place, but all kinds of opportunity to experience fear. One of the fears that would have driven me to my knees 10 years ago. My brother just is, he's got so many gifts, but planning and keeping his mind focused on all the details isn't necessarily one of them. And he's trying to put this wedding together in a foreign country with all kinds of family, 70 members of the family from Cartagena, members of his family, and we're standing at the front of the church, and he nudges me. He said, "I forgot to ask you if you would read some scripture for me." So 10 years ago, reading in public was the highlight of my anxiety. Would drive me to my knees. I would look for every excuse I could find not to do it. I'd desperately, in desperation, ask somebody else to do it. And it was with complete and utter joy that I said, "Yeah, Pat, no problem." And went up and read cold in front of people I had never met before. And it was facing that fear by becoming a pastor, which now I look back in hindsight, and all these friends that I had that were pastors, that it just kind of seemed I might be moving in that direction. But I kept saying, "No, I'm too afraid. There's no way I would ever become a pastor." Well, maybe it's that fear that God was whispering. "I'll take that fear away from you, Eric, if you face that fear." And it's gone. The anxiety's gone. I hardly don't even get nervous anymore. The end of the scripture that Reverend Linda read, "What must I do to be saved?" believe is the Greek word. The believe is the word that we get translated from the Greek. But it is so much more powerful than that. The Greek word means obey. Obey the Lord Jesus. We are called to follow Jesus. We are called to actually live out what Jesus asked us to live. And I've discovered complete and utter freedom. My chains of anxiety are gone. We were invited, my mom and I have cooked together all of our lives. I love cooking with my mom. And she thought it would be a wonderful gift to have the two of us receive a cooking lesson at a restaurant. And that sounded great until we get there and we realize that we are the only people that had paid for the cooking lesson, and they hold it right in front of everybody. So you're learning how to cook in front of about 40 people who are eating at the time. I'm telling you, 10 years ago, not a chance. My mom and I had the greatest time. And visiting with the Colombian girl who went to France to learn how to become a chef and came back, and she said, the reason I'm a chef is because I love the stories. I get to share stories with people as we cook. And I asked her for her favorite stories, and she said, well, the story that's changed my life is a story from the native people here. It's a story about a forest fire, and all of the animals were running from the fire, except for this one little tiny bird. And this little bird would take beakfuls of water and drop them on the fire and go get another beakful of water and drop it on the fire. And a flock of pelicans came by and they were circling overhead and they looked down at this silly little bird and the leader flew down and said, silly little bird, you're wasting your time. And the bird said, well, maybe I am, but at least I'm doing my part. And if all of you pelicans would help me, we'd have this fire put out in no time. Carolina, the chef, said, Eric, we live in a country that's turning around, but it still has a long ways to go. And corruption is terrible here. The government corruption and bribery runs like the DNA of our country through the police and through the government. If you get a speeding ticket, no problem. Just pay off the police officer. If you don't want to pay, you don't want to park and pay the parking meter, no problem. You just pay off the officer if you happen to get a ticket. I heard that story and realized that it was up to me to stop paying off people. If the corruption was going to change, I would have to play my part. And it would start with me. And maybe someday, by my example, other Colombians would also stop paying the bribes. And eventually, the corruption will be gone. We'll put out that fire. So everywhere I go, I hear an opportunity to share people's ministry. And as Ken was saying in his introduction, and as we heard in the video, we are all called into ministry. Carolina is doing a ministry as she cooks, sharing those stories, trying to transform her country. Every one of us is called into that ministry too. And one way we might find what that ministry is to look at what we're most afraid of. Jesus would do things that terrified the people around him. He would touch lepers. He would touch the unclean. He would do these incredibly intimate healings, like that time when he spit on his fingers and the man who was deaf and dumb, deaf and mute, who had no way to know that Jesus was near him, no way to know what Jesus was doing. Jesus spit on his fingers and touched his ears so that the man might know. And then he spit on his fingers and touched his tongue. Can you imagine? Can you imagine how incredibly uncomfortable that would make any of us? And then Jesus whispered, "Be opened," and the man's chains fell free. My favorite poet is Malcolm Guite. He wrote a book called Parable and Paradox, and it's just filled with some of the most beautiful poems based upon Scripture. And on that text, he writes a poem called Be Opened. Be opened. Oh, if only we might be. Speak to a heart that's closed in upon itself. Be opened, and the truth will set you free. Speak to a world imprisoned in its wealth. Be opened, learn to learn from poverty. Speak to a church that closes and excludes and makes rejection its own litany. Be opened, open to the multitudes for whom I died, but whom you have dismissed. Be opened, opened, opened. Jesus, how you sigh. And still we do not hear you. We have missed both cry and crisis. We make no reply. Take us aside, for we are deaf and dumb. Spit on us, Lord, and touch each tongue-tied tongue. Amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Gathering Podcast. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, come and join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville. We have services at 8:30, 8:45, 9:45, and 11 o'clock each Sunday morning. Grace and peace, y'all.